Welcome to the second hour's reading of the Midland Reporter-Telegram and the Odessa American. You can hear this program on Recording Library of West Texas Radio and on demand at recordinglibrary.org.
This is the oil page. This article is entitled, U.S. Predicts Market Oversupply by Next Year, by Sheila Tobin and Devika Krishnakumar. Bloomberg. The U.S. government projected that the global oil market will become oversupplied and prices will fall by early next year, cooling expectations that the White House may tap the nation's emergency reserves. Supply increases next year from OPEC nations, as well as U.S. drillers, will ultimately pressure prices lower. The U.S. benchmark crude will fall below $80 a barrel by December and reach as low as $62 by the end of next year. And its global counterpart, Brent, will average $72 a barrel in 2022, the Energy Information Administration said in its short-term energy outlook on Tuesday. U.S. pump prices will drop below $3 a gallon by February, the data show. We forecast that global oil stocks will begin building in 2022, driven by rising production from OPEC Plus and the United States, along with slowing growth in the global oil demand, the EIA said. The Biden administration has been under pressure to act to suppress rising gasoline prices that are now at the highest levels since 2014. But the report may weaken the argument for a release of oil from the U.S. Strategic Petroleum Reserve, a move that had been seen as the most direct action U.S. President Biden could take to drive down prices, especially after OPEC and its allies resisted Biden's calls to bring more crude supplies into the global market. A White House official said on Tuesday afternoon that the administration has reviewed the EIA forecast and welcomes news of moderating prices. It also said it has nothing to announce Tuesday in terms of an SPR release, and it continues to engage with OPEC Plus on increasing supply. The Strategic Petroleum Reserve holds more than 600 million barrels of crude in underground caverns in Louisiana and Texas for major emergencies. Existing volumes are large enough to replace all the oil that the U.S. imports from OPEC and its allies for more than a year. This article is entitled, Historian, Biden's Attitude Toward Industry Strange, by David Weth and Alex Steele, Bloomberg. While President Joe Biden has been jawboning OPEC nations to pump more crude, the rest of the world finds it odd that the leader of the top oil producer isn't paying more attention to domestic shale, said oil historian Daniel Yergin. There's a basic antagonism and lack of interest, indifference to the industry, although it has 10.5 million people working in it, Yergin, vice chairman of IHS Market Limited, said in a Bloomberg television interview on Monday. The rest of the world is saying this is really strange. As Biden considers tapping the Strategic Petroleum Reserve to stem a surge in gasoline prices, Yergin said there isn't much the White House can do. Talk of releasing crude from the reserve always comes up anytime gasoline prices are high, he said. This article is entitled, Oxy Hedges Lose $339 Million After 20 Payout, by Devika Krishnakumar, Bloomberg. Oil and gas producer Occidental Petroleum Corporation's move to hedge its output has been a roller coaster over the last 2 years. Occidental, one of the Permian Basin's biggest producers, lost an estimated $339 million from its oil and gas hedges this year through September 30th, the latest quarterly filing showed. That includes losses not yet realized. Last year, the company made $960 million from its hedges after prices collapsed, according to regulatory filings. Despite the loss from its hedges, the Explorer posted a $791 million profit in the first three quarters of this year due to rising oil and gas prices. The company, which typically doesn't hedge, took the rare step of locking in future output after its decision to acquire Anadarko Petroleum in 2019. It entered into a so-called costless collar structure for 2020, where two different options are sold to fund the purchase of a put option that would allow the holder to sell crude at a predetermined price. However, Occidental sold additional call options for 2021 to increase the ceiling price, capping its upside if oil prices rose above $74.16 a barrel in 2021. It subsequently also added natural gas hedges using a collar. As Brent crude prices surge, the hedge increasingly loses value. The global oil benchmark has been above $74.16 every day since late September and is currently trading near $83 as demand outstrips supply across the world. This article is entitled White House: No Plans to Shutter Line, by Jenny Leonard and Robert Tuttle, Bloomberg. The White House pledged to discuss a key pipeline that carries Canadian crude through Michigan with the northern neighbor, stressing the U.S. isn't considering a shutdown of the conduit the state's governor wants shuttered. The Canadian and U.S. governments will engage constructively on the future of Enbridge Inc.'s Line 5 pipeline, the White House Principal Deputy Press Secretary Karine Jean-Pierre said at a briefing Tuesday. These negotiations and discussions between the two countries shouldn't be viewed as anything more than that, and certainly not an indicator that the U.S. government is considering shutdown, she said. That is something that we're not going to do. The comments help clarify the position of the Biden administration in an escalating dispute between Michigan Governor Gretchen Whitmer, a Biden ally, and Enbridge. Speculation the U.S. was considering a shutdown of the line that delivers propane and oil to the Midwest triggered strong criticism from Republicans at a time when energy prices are surging because of tight supplies. The line is also a key conduit of oil for refineries in Ontario and Quebec, a fact that has drawn the attention of Justin Trudeau's government. Canadian officials have called the continued operation of the pipeline non-negotiable, and Canada recently invoked provisions of a 1970s treaty to defend the line's operation.
Hello, this is Cindy reading Health and Wellness from the Midland Reporter-Telegram for Wednesday. MMH Awards for Quality of Patient Care. Midland Memorial Hospital received the STEMI, Receiving Center Gold Plus Award, and the NSTEMI Gold Award this year. What does that mean? Achieving these awards mean the care our patients receive at the hospital has met or exceeded national quality standards. The American Heart Association Mission Lifeline Program recognizes acute myocardial infarction, AMI, care for STEMI and NSTEMI, two types of heart attacks, through their awards program called Get With the Guidelines, Coronary Artery Disease. Midland Memorial Hospital is proud to participate in this program. To qualify for the STEMI or NSTEMI Gold Awards requires 24 consecutive months of data submission, meeting or exceeding national benchmarks, and having a composite score of 85% or higher. The measures include pre-hospital care to discharge as well as timing measures. The STEMI Gold Plus Award requires a timing measure that considers the patient's arrival at an outside hospital to cath lab intervention at Midland Memorial Hospital, which must be 50% or higher. STEMI timing measures also calculates the time from when EMS first sees the patient to the time of device intervention in the cath lab. An additional timing measure calculates the arrival time for patients who present themselves directly to the Midland Memorial Hospital to cath lab device intervention. The other STEMI measures considered are discharge measures. For example, was a referral made at discharge for the patient to go to an outpatient cardiac rehab? Another measure looks at the medications that are recommended at discharge, such as aspirin, beta blockers, ACE-ARB for reduced cardiac function and high-intensity statins. Compliance with the NSTEMI measures must be 85% or higher. With the exception of one discharge medication measure, which is set at 65%, these measures relate to outpatient cardiac rehab referrals, ACEI, ARB for patient with reduced cardiac function at discharge, left ventricular systolic function evaluation, smoking cessation, and dual antiplatelet therapy at discharge. Midland Memorial Hospital is proud to have received these awards for 2021 and has a history of meeting these standards. MMH to cut off monoclonal infusion treatment by Stuart Doreen. Midland Health Chief Operating Officer Stephen Bowerman said during the weekly COVID presser that Tuesday was the last day for treatments. "We've been providing these infusions since November of 2020, Bowerman said. "We have seen our numbers drop off in the last few weeks, so Tuesday is the last day that Midland will be offering monoclonal antibody infusions." Bowerman said that Midland Health has provided more than 1,500 treatments. Midland Memorial was offering the treatment long before the state infusion center in Odessa opened. He said there is plenty of inventory there, so people in need of the treatment will be directed there. "We will obviously consider reopening that in the future if we see surges," Bowerman said. "If we see pockets where we think there's a significant increase, we could reopen quickly. We've done that a couple of times throughout the pandemic. But as of today, it's the last day that we'll be providing it on our campus." The announcement came on the same week that Bloomberg reported that Regeneron's antibody cocktail cut the risk of contracting COVID-19 by 82% for up to 8 months, according to a company-sponsored study that could pave the way for its broader use. The infusion center in Odessa opened in August, around 8 months after Midland Health started to provide offering monoclonal antibody infusions. The Odessa Infusion Center, 500 North Washington, Suite 700, is open from 7 a.m. to 6 p.m. Monday through Saturday. Those providers or others wanting to make an appointment in Odessa can call the center at 432-640-2022. There is also an email to send appropriate documentation at covidinfusioncenter@echd.org. As has been reported previously, the therapy is free, and the entire process takes about 90 minutes. Once signed in, the patient will be taken to a room for therapy through an IV, which takes about 20 to 25 minutes. Once complete, the patient will wait another 60 minutes to make sure there are no adverse reactions before being able to leave. It is a one-time infusion that helps boost the patient's immune system to fight off the virus. Monoclonal antibodies are lab-made proteins that mimic the immune system's ability to fight off harmful pathogens, such as viruses. The therapy is for patients who have tested positive for COVID-19 and are at risk for hospitalization. Not only can it help prevent hospitalization, but it can also ease the symptoms of COVID-19 sooner. Manor Park names community center after previous employees. Senior Living Facility hosted open house on October 28th to celebrate expansion. The village at Manor Park sits on a 65-acre campus and has recently expanded across the street to Village South. On October 28th, Manor Park hosted an open house for the new community center. The Village South Community Center holds emotional significance as it is dedicated in honor of Alan Hale, Manor Park's recently retired executive director for more than 25 years. The game room in the building is dedicated in honor of Lucy Woodside, Manor Park's recently retired director of development, who served for 22 years. The 8,500-square-foot Village South Activity Center is centrally located to provide a convenient activity hub for residents. The center is designed with a contemporary dining venue named Dolly's Bistro. The center has a large room designed to support potluck dinners, birthday parties, wellness programs, and other social activities. Outside, residents can enjoy a small activity area adjacent to the patio. Inside, there is a space reserved for arts and craft equipped with ample storage and supplies. The center is a lively, convenient, and practical venue, enabling residents of Village South and the main campus to enjoy socializing and friendship. The community center was made possible through the generosity of its donors through a capital campaign. Manor Park strives to provide their senior residents with fulfilling life experiences and the resources for daily living and activities throughout the campus. The donations for the Village Center help accomplish this goal. To learn more about the Village at Manor Park or to make a donation for future developments for improved senior living, visit manorparkinc.org or call 432-689-9898. Regeneron antibody cuts risk of infection, by Elaine Chan, Bloomberg. Regeneron Pharmaceuticals, Inc.'s antibody cocktail cut the risk of contracting COVID-19 by 82% for up to 8 months, according to a company-sponsored study that could pave the way for its broader use. The monoclonal antibody cocktail, known as REGEN-COV, is available under an emergency use authorization in the U.S. to treat outpatients at risk of developing severe symptoms. It's also allowed as a preventive therapy for certain people who aren't fully vaccinated or who are immunocompromised and have known or likely exposure to the virus. The company has asked the U.S. Food and Drug Administration to expand the authorization so the drug can be used to prevent infections, even when it's given before a person has been exposed. The shares rose 0.3% as of 9:36 a.m. Monday in New York. These data add to the increasing body of evidence supporting use of REGEN-COV to prevent COVID-19 in uninfected individuals, which may be especially useful for the many immunocompromised people who do not respond adequately to vaccines and remain prisoners of the pandemic. George Yancopoulos, President and Chief Scientific Officer at Regeneron, said in a statement, "The field for COVID treatments is growing more crowded, with Merck and Company and Pfizer Inc., developing pills that have shown promising results in patients early in the course of disease. While monoclonal antibodies like Regeneron's were developed earlier in the pandemic and may be used before the virus takes hold, the pills, if authorized, would be more convenient to transport and administer." Analysts earlier in the year questioned the long-term prospects of COVID-19 treatments as vaccination rates increased and the number of new infections slowed. Regeneron, along with other drug makers that produce monoclonal antibodies that jumpstart the immune system's fight against the virus, have pitched the preventive use of their drugs, bolstering immunity. The approach could particularly benefit people with weakened immune systems who may not develop sufficient protection after vaccination and are at higher risk of breakthrough infections, thereby fueling long-term demand. The late-stage study, jointly run with the National Institute of Allergy and Infectious Diseases, enrolled people who lived in a household with someone diagnosed with COVID within the previous 4 days. Earlier results from the trial showed the drug cut the risk of infection by 81% within the first month. The new data shows the protection was maintained, with an 82% reduction in symptomatic infections for as long as 8 months after the therapy was administered. During the study, none of the people in the treatment group were hospitalized due to COVID, compared with 6 people in the placebo group. No deaths stemming from COVID infection occurred in either group. Participants were allowed to get vaccinated after the first month. Immunization rates were balanced between those given placebo and those given the actual treatment, with about 1/3 of participants in both groups getting at least one dose, according to Regeneron. Transforming spine care. At Midland Health's Total Joint and Spine Center, our surgeons are performing spine care with the latest technology in robotic navigation and imaging systems for back and neck surgery. Our program is built upon evidence-based protocols and features a dedicated unit to care for our patients, ensuring high quality and safety standards. In fact, more than 90% of our patients discharge directly to home, decreasing the risk of infection. Visit midlandhealth.org/total-joint-and-spine to learn more.
To Your Good Health by Dr. Keith Roach. Blood clots after bike accident. Dear Dr. Roach, my healthy, active 58-year-old daughter sustained a bicycle accident in June with road rash and a finger fracture. A spot on her face appeared infected, and she was treated with clindamycin. She began running a fever which lasted 2 weeks. Stool specimens revealed C. diff. She was taken off clindamycin and put on vancomycin. 3 days ago, she developed swelling in her right foot, and an ultrasound study revealed clots. She was started on Eliquis. What caused the blood clots? Answer: blood clots in the deep veins, deep vein thrombosis, or DVTs for short, can have many causes such as prolonged immobility, surgery, and medicines, especially estrogens. However, some people get them even with no particular risks. In this case, the hematologist will usually look for underlying causes such as protein C and S deficiencies or the factor V Lindin mutation. These need treatment because they can cause symptoms of swelling, but also because they can break off and go to the lungs, which is a life-threatening condition called pulmonary embolism. One less well-known risk factor for DVTs is Clostridioides difficile infection, which is an overgrowth of a bacteria that often lives in the colon, but which is normally kept in check by the other healthy bacteria. When antibiotics, especially amoxicillin and clindamycin, but almost any antibiotic can do it, kill the healthy bacteria, the C. diff can take over, causing fever and often bloody diarrhea. C. diff nearly doubles the risk of developing a DVT, although the mechanism why isn't precisely known.
This is the Dear Abby column. Holidays are a prime time to wield the written word. Dear Abby, You often respond to grandparents who are disappointed that their grandchildren have not written a note to express gratitude for a recent present. Personally, I think one of the main reasons they don't is the simple fact that they lack thank you cards and stamps. Their parents may not be writing thank you notes anymore. When I'm at the post office, I rarely see 20-year-olds buying stamps. I would like to offer a suggestion for my peers. If you want your grandchildren to send you a thank you card, make it simple for them. Include a small box of cards and some postage stamps when you send their present. They'll get the message. And Abby, they could add a copy of your letter writing booklet if it's still available. Signed, Thankful in Texas. Dear Thankful, your suggestion is a clever one, and yes, my booklet, How to Write Letters for All Occasions, is still available. People of every age tend to procrastinate when it comes to letter writing because they're unsure how to express their feelings on paper and afraid they will say the wrong thing. Thank you notes do not have to be long or flowery. In fact, the opposite is true. Short and to the point is more effective. I advise readers to have a notebook handy when they open their gifts and jot down the first words that come to mind when they see what's inside. Do they like the color, the style? Is it something they have been wanting? Write it down and use it for inspiration. My booklet, How to Write Letters for All Occasions, contains samples of thank you letters for birthday gifts, shower gifts, wedding gifts, and those that arrive around holiday time. It also includes sample letters of congratulations, as well as ones on difficult subjects, such as the loss of a parent, spouse, or a child. It can be ordered by sending your name and address, plus a check or money order for $8 in U.S. funds, to Dear Abby Letters Booklet, P.O. Box 447, Mount Morris, Illinois, 61054-0447. Shipping and handling are included in the price. With the holidays just around the corner, this is the perfect time to reply with a handwritten note or letter or a well-written email. For anyone who has wondered where to begin when expressing gratitude, congratulations, condolences, composing a love letter, or announcing a broken engagement or a divorce, How to Write Letters is a handy guide. Dear Abby, I'm a 25-year-old man who has never had a girlfriend. Recently, a woman I work with seems to be showing an interest in me. She's the same age as I am. I might feel the same way about her, but she mentioned that she's going through a divorce. Is it worth asking for her number to see where things go? Signed, Hoping in the Heartland. Dear Hoping, proceed with caution. You can ask for her number, but take things very slowly. She may need a friend right now more than a romance. Also, much depends on the fraternization policies in your workplace. Sometimes these relationships are frowned upon, which could cost one or both of you your jobs. You can write to Dear Abby at dearabby.com or P.O. Box 69440, Los Angeles, California. Her column is distributed by Universal Press Syndicate.
Thank you for joining us for the readings of the Midland Reporter-Telegram and the Odessa American. This is the Recording Library of West Texas, enriching the lives of individuals with physical, visual, and learning disabilities since 1963. You can hear this program on Recording Library of West Texas Radio and on demand with your computer or favorite mobile device at recordinglibrary.org.